Ephesians chapter 4. And I have the wonderful privilege of turning to this text during the men's advance. And so we're going to walk rather quickly through some of the things that we taught at the advance to get to verses 30, 31, and 32. And if you weren't at the men's advance, I'm leaving it up to them to really fill you in more on what we dealt with there. They got it. I really believe the guys that were there got it. They'll be able to share some of those things with you. But I do think it's important for us to walk through them for everybody a little bit. I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. And we're going to read kind of a lengthy portion because we're going to walk down through it. And we'll begin with verse 17, and we're going to read right through to the end of the chapter. So if you would follow as I read. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created to God, or according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, pay special attention to these. You're going to see how they fit in. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, as you begin looking at verses 17 through 24, you find a really nasty description of man. It's really what some passages would call the natural man, the man apart from God, the man before he gets saved, the man before he knows Christ. And even though I'm saying man, I mean man, woman, boy, girl. This is the description of how we are before we come to Christ. Then it says something very interesting as we get down a little bit further. It says, that's the way you were. He's writing to people who were saved. He says, that's who you were. That's how you were. That's how you felt. That's how you acted. But that's not how you're to be now. You've not so learned Christ. You put off the way of the old and you put on the new. God has now created you as different people. We are new creations in Christ. That was mentioned in our Sunday school hour this morning. He's created us as new creations. We are now men and women that have been created in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I shared with the men how that this is the language used here is a word picture of clothing. It's the idea that I take these clothes, this is what I used to have, these are old clothes that I have, I take them off and I now put on new clothes. They're so much different. I'm sure you probably understand that concept of taking old clothes off, putting new clothes on, right? I share with the guys also how that my wife works really hard to dress me appropriately. She really does. I can't tell you how many times I've appeared in one set of clothes only to find that she says, you're not going to wear that, are you? And I obviously go change. And in fact, in truth, I called her to come upstairs with me when I was getting ready to come here and packing because I had knew that I should be bringing a suit, so I said, honey, come on upstairs. And I had laid out the suit I was going to wear, right? So there it is. There's the suit. There's the shirt. There's the tie. She stepped into the closet there. She took one look at it and said, no, that's not going to work. You know, they're too close in colors. I mean, what is that all about? You know, it was a gray and it was gray. And it was gray, you know, and they're all, how can they not go together? But they didn't. So whatever, what I happen to have on, she approved. I hope you do. The old and the new. You know, really, that's what I would hope we would think with God. You know, God is really saying to us, no, 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 that will never do. And we do want to put on what he approves. Yes? I mean, that's really, we're new creations. He said, I've made you a new creation. I want you to wear this. I want you to look this way. I want you to act this way. I want you to think this way. That's what's to take place. Now, I'm going to move away from, for our purposes this morning, the clothing illustration. And I want to go this direction. I want to talk about what is natural. That would be your old man. And what is supernatural. That which we have because of the work of God in our lives. Can you at least make that transition with me as we look at this text? Natural, supernatural. I know that may seem strange, but the truth is we are living a life that really in Christ is supernatural work of God that he's doing. And what I'm talking about today, you cannot do on your own. You can't. You can try all you want, but it's not something you're going to do on your own, because we must have the work of God in our lives to live the way God would have us to live. And when we think we can do it on our own, the scriptures talk of that as doing it in the flesh. Rather, so it says something like this, you're walking in the flesh. You're not walking in the spirit. So, if you want to maybe jot down in your notes or maybe in your Bible, when we start looking at verses 25 through 32, we're going to see some contrast. We're going to see him saying, no, not natural. This is natural. Here's what I want. I want the supernatural. I want the work of the Spirit of God in your life. Now, the guys know that we talked about being truth is sticky clean. Right? That's how we put it. Squeaky clean. There we go. I didn't write that in my Bible. Squeaky clean. Truth is squeaky clean. But look at that from this perspective. Therefore, put away lying. Lying is natural. Do you know that? I didn't have to teach my kids or my grandkids to lie. Well, nobody had to teach me either. It's very natural. We lie. We want to cover up. We want to look good. We want to do things that are so that we don't get in trouble. There's a lot of reasons we lie in the flesh as a natural man. It comes natural to lie. But the text here emphasizes that that's not the way it's supposed to be. It goes on to say, therefore, put away this lying. This is not who you are. These are not the clothes you're supposed to be wearing. You're not supposed to walk in the flesh. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, we spent a whole message on that at the retreat. At the advance. We spent a whole message on it. But let me just say, talk to the men about that. And learn what it is that we were seeing here, because it's so important as a body of believers. Because you notice it says here, for we are members one of another. It hurts this body of believers, and it hurts Christians as a whole when we as believers don't live supernatural lives speaking the truth. Because you and I know there's many times we're tempted not to be forthright and open and honest. But Christians who are living supernatural lives will speak the truth. Now notice the next one. Let's see what's natural and unnatural, or natural and supernatural in the next. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Not too hard to figure it out here, is it? You know what comes natural? Anger. Anger. How many of you have ever been angry here in this room, huh? It comes natural, doesn't it? I mean, you don't even have to work hard at getting angry, do you? And I can do it just like that if I want. No, actually, you really can. Anger just comes naturally. What doesn't come natural, what is supernatural, is the kind of anger that isn't sinful. Now, we really developed that one, too, at the retreat. And I said, anger is God's early warning system. There is anger, and I believe it's that anger of the emotion that you begin to feel, and God's saying to you, whoa, hold it, care for that, because sinful anger, anger that's explosive, anger that's loose, anger, that's not good. That's natural. What is supernatural is when we see and begin to feel that anger and then deal with it in such a way that we can respond appropriately to the people and deal with the problems and the situations of life in a gracious way. Now, there's a lot more to that one. You'll talk to them about that, I'm sure, right? So that we can move on. Because I really want to get down to verses 31 and 32, which we didn't talk to the men about. Notice the next one. Oh, actually, we didn't talk to them about this one either. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have something to give who has need. You know what comes natural? Taking that which doesn't belong to us. And that happens even for Christians. Oh, well, I would never steal. Oh, yeah? I wonder if there's ever a time when you're at the job and you just decide to take a break when you break's not due you. What did you just steal then? You stole from your employer. When I was working in a factory, I can remember we had a 10-minute break every 2 hours, something like that. Is that still the case that they do that kind of thing? Well, all I know is that 2-minute breaks were never, or 10-minute breaks were never 10 minutes. I mean, I would go down for the 10-minute break, and I'd go back to get on the machine I was working on that was dependent on all the other machines, and I'm standing there, and I'm standing there, and I'm standing there, and I said, I thought we had a 10-minute break. And then about 15 minutes, somebody else would come back, and about 20 minutes, the rest of the guys would come back, and the line would start up again, and we could keep working. We could go back to work. You know what I did after about a month, don't you? Well, no, probably more like after a week or two. I took the long break too because I couldn't do anything. I just did what was natural, what everybody else was doing. Now, I do have to confess that God convicted me of that, so I learned to stand by my machine and wait till the rest of the gang came because I don't want to live a natural life. That's not befitting the life of a believer. I want to live a supernatural life, one that is empowered by the Spirit of God, that brings honor to Him and glory to Him and doesn't disgrace His name. But it's natural to steal in so many different ways. And I just gave you one. I mean, it can be the stamps. It can be the envelopes that you happen to use where you're employed. It can literally be taking something that belongs to someone else. Yeah, even that can happen, that kind of stealing. But what is supernatural? Look what the text says is supernatural. The person that works so he can have to give. Why do I go to work? To buy stuff for me? Or do I go to work so that I can earn these resources so that I can meet the needs of others? Oh, you got to be kidding. You know? But that's what it's saying in the text. It does say that the supernatural act would be that person who is liberal in their giving and meeting the needs of others. I can't wait to earn another $100 to see who I can give it to. Yeah, that's the way we think. Right? Well, if you do begin to think that way, my address is box 386. Okay. Yeah, you get it. I want to live a supernatural, God-honoring life. That's what he wants us to live to. Because we are created in true righteousness and holiness. And then verse 29. And again, we spent an entire message on this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. My friends, what comes natural is not using our tongues and our words to be a blessing to others. That isn't what comes natural. It's often, and you know, as you walk and talk with people that do not know Christ, they're going to be gossiping, they're going to be slandering, they're going to be yelling, they're going to be arguing, they're going to be doing all kinds of things with their tongue. But it's not natural for them to be always praising and encouraging and building people up. Would you agree? Is that natural? No. That's supernatural. When you find that there are people that are ones that just bless and encourage and build up and thank, don't you just love being around people like that? People that live supernatural lives, directed and led by the Spirit of God. And you can let the men talk to you more about that one. Now let's get down to verse 31. You might want to jot down some definitions as we work on this one a little bit. We're going to take a little more time on these. Because we see here in verse 31, that which comes natural. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Put it away from you with all malice. Now, you may think I'm not correct in saying that those things come natural, but I'm telling you, you understand as well as I do that there's a lot of problems and difficulties that come into our lives. People are hurting. Yes? People really are hurting. There's the spouse whose husband has been abusive and beaten her. There's the children that are rebellious to their parents. There are families that are broken in so many different ways. There's some that are on drugs. There's some on alcohol. There's some that have slandered you at work so that you've lost a job. And then bitterness comes as a result of that. And maybe you've been hurt by a girlfriend that has betrayed you, or a boyfriend that's betrayed you. I don't know, but there's all kinds of hurts that come into all of our lives. It's the natural thing to hurt people. And you know why? Because it really comes down to this, and I think you ought to write it down. Hurt people hurt people. It's just what happens. Hurt people hurt people. That's natural. You hurt me, I hurt you. And in fact, if you want to go a little bit step further, you hurt me a little, I'll hurt you a little more. Then you hurt me. And then what will you do? You'll hurt me a little more than I hurt you. It's the rules of the natural man. It's just how it is. Here's some of the definitions that I just jotted down. For example, the idea of bitterness. It's a resentful spirit that refuses to be reconciled. Pastor, if you've done any counseling over the years, I guarantee you, you've run into bitter people. You tried to help them get it right, get them reconciled, and yet they have this venomous attitude. They don't want to get it right. That's bitter. You've seen that? I think we had another pastor over here, right? You've probably seen a little bitterness in your day too, haven't you? It's natural. It is the natural man and the way he responds when he's been hurt. Who of us have not seen this rage or wrath that's mentioned in the text? That it's this kind of thing that just builds up and explodes. You ever seen anybody explode? Have you ever had the duck? I can remember ducking a hammer or two over the years. Yeah. And it wasn't because it slipped. It was intentional. That rage that's there on the job. boy, it's been nasty at times. And then we have the word anger. That's actually what we often think. Boy, he's just so mad. And he just seems like he's ready to nail you to the wall at any time. And then you got the words clamor, I think, in the text, or brawling. And that's the idea of excited, loud, and insulting speech, and raising of voices, and arguing, and screaming. I won't ask you how many of you live in homes where arguing and screaming and yelling is the natural thing that takes place all the time. That's not supernatural. That's natural. It's happening because it's the way man is just lives apart from God. And, you know, I wouldn't scream if they didn't behave that way. Right? I mean, that's kind of, we condone all of this. We often do. After all, why would we do it if we didn't condone it? We just have learned to live as a natural man who walks in the flesh. And then, oh, this thing about malice. I don't know if that's the next one or not, but slander. Let's go there first. Slander or evil speaking, or sometimes we call it gossip. It just seems like the natural thing that happens in our lives, where we talk about people, we talk about them in such a way that the opinion of that person will be damaged or hurt. We want people to think bad of them, and we want them to think good of us. Slander hurts people. Here's a little test for you. I'm not sure if I can lay this out exactly right, but let's take the workplace, for example. Husbands, what do your wives think about your boss, who they've never met? Okay? What do they think about your boss, who they've never met? What do they think about your pastor, who they've never met? Well, we won't go there, right? But why? Do you follow what I'm saying? If they have a bad opinion of your boss, where'd they get it from? Gossip, slander, evil speaking. Teenagers, what do your parents think about some of your friends who they've not met? They have good opinions of your friends? Well, you know, or do they really wonder about your friends because those are bad kids? They never met them, but they learned about them from your lips. You following, tracking with this? See, that's gossip. That's slander. When you give this bad opinion of someone, you're putting them down so that I don't think well of them, then you have been gossiping and slandering them. And it comes really natural. That sound good to you? That's what it is. That's natural. Malice. Ill will. Wishing possibly even to plot and do someone harm. I mean, who would do that? Plotting harm. A few years ago, I was on a missions trip to the Czech Republic. I had left for about 3 weeks, and after about the first week, while I got there, and they didn't have cell reception. Actually, they didn't have any reception. They didn't have phones. They didn't have anything back up in there where we're at. So I wasn't able to correspond and know how Bon was doing at home. What I didn't know was there's some really bad things coming down. Well, I came back from the trip, and I was really looking forward to seeing Bon. Got to the airport, and she came to pick me up, and when she came in, I went up to give her a hug, you know, and greet her. I was so excited to see her. And she goes, "Don't touch me." Now, I want you to know that's not her normal response, you know, type of thing. And so I said, "What?" She says, "I'll tell you later." Okay. So I went and got the suitcases and went out and get in the car, and it wasn't our car that was there to pick us up. And I says, Bob, where's our car? I'll tell you later. So the story began to unfold as we got home. She said, I was going down to a craft fair down in Lancaster, and I decided to take kind of the scenic route down through the back roads instead of taking the highway. And I came to this one where I was following this person, and they were doing about 25 miles an hour in a 35-mile zone, and I thought I'd pass when I get the opportunity. So she says, I got to this straightaway, and the car was going really slow, and there was a car way down there, and I knew I had plenty of time to pass, so I passed. And when I got around in front of the other car, I looked, and the car that was way down there was now coming straight at me in my lane. She says, I didn't know what to do. He kept coming. So I swung out into the other lane, which would have been his lane. I swung out in the other lane, and just as I did that, he went out into that lane. So then I swung the car the other way. I went this way. Then I lost control. We went back. I flipped the van over and over and came back sitting up on his wheels, but she had been injured with a broken, whatever this is called, sternum and some other things. She crawled out of the van, and this guy came up to her, and she says, were you in that other car? And he said, yes. She says, what were you doing in my lane? And he said these words. He says, I wanted to teach you a lesson. You should never have passed when you passed. And then he got in his vehicle and drove away. Well, I wasn't handling that very well. In fact, you see this word malice? That's why I'm telling you about it. Because the next morning, I'm having my quiet time, devotions with God. Well, at least my Bible was open. And I was looking, but I wasn't seeing any words on the page. You know what was happening in my head? I was thinking about buying this really old car, and I'd go play chicken with this guy, and he'd get another thought. Come, and I'm reading, and then I'm looking to see where I'm reading, and it's some of the same passages we're talking about here, about loving everybody. You gotta be kidding. I didn't want to be loving. I wanted to do what was natural. And I had begun to harbor this natural heart of malice. I'm telling you, these things that are in this verse are natural. And if you're going to have victory, you're going to have to move to the supernatural, the Spirit of God's work in your life, which is what it's talking about here in the next verse. Look at this with me now. Now we move to the supernatural. Well, instead of let all this natural stuff, take off those clothes, take off that natural. Don't walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit, or in this case, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Now, I'm not so sure you necessarily need definitions of the word kindness. We have felt kindness from time to time. When people have been gracious to us, have reached out to us, when there's people that are others-minded, they're always looking out to help someone else, we would say things like this about them. That person is such a kind person. Yeah, kindness. I'm supposed to be kind, not those other things. And then it uses the word tender-hearted. Not hard and callous and angry and bitter, but tender, gentle. Touching people's souls with our lives. But the real word I want you to get a handle on is the word forgiveness. Because if we don't understand forgiveness, we're not understanding supernatural work of God. I asked you to write down the word hurting people, hurt people. I think I mentioned that. Here's what I'd like you to write down now. Forgiven people, forgive people. Forgiven people, forgive people. Now I know, I from Sunday school, I kind of picked up that there's a couple guys that have been pastors here in this church. That's true, right? So I know they know the answer to this question. There's a couple primary words used for love in the New Testament. Guys, what are those Greek words? Okay, we got it, right? Phileo and agape. Maybe you didn't know that, but there's some, phileo is this brotherly, endearing love. Agape is this sacrificial love. And we read the word love and we don't always know which one it is. We just take a concordance, we can find that out. But love is of God, agape love. That's of God. Well, the reason I did that is because there are two primary words for forgive in the New Testament, which I don't expect these guys to know. That's one. And? Yeah, and? Aha. This is really good. Okay, I'm glad you didn't know that. You know why I'm glad? Because the one he spoke is Aphiemi is one way you pronounce it. That is the word that is most of the time used for forgive. When Peter said, how many times should I forgive? That's the word that he was talking about. Well, we're supposed to forgive. How about we forgive 7 times? Oh, no, Jesus said, no, forgive them 70 times 70, right? I mean, that's in Matthew chapter 18. And it means to release, count the debt gone, away from you. Is that how you say it? You know, away from you. Okay? That's not the word used in this text. When you read forgive here, it's not that one. It's something different. And this is so cool. Let me say the word for you. It's the word charizomai. Now, like, what is that? Have you ever heard of charismatic? Yeah? You have any idea? The charis, it's the idea of grace. My daughter's name is Charis. Grace. And what it's telling us in this text, the supernatural work, that which is not natural, that which is the opposite of being bitter and wrathful and anger and clamor and evil speaking and all this. The opposite of that is to have this charizomai, the same that Jesus had. And in Colossians it says, even as in God. And it means this. It means forgive, but it's gracing the person. It's not just simply releasing the person from the debt. It's doing the person good. It's blessing them. It's giving them something that they don't deserve. That's forgiveness. Uh-oh. How in the world do I forgive that guy that ran my wife off the road? Well, I release from the debt. No, I do him good. I bless him. Yeah, I thought about blessing him, you know, type of thing. That was still the bitterness. But I'm to bless him. I'm to do him good. I'm to pray for them. I mean, how many times do we find in passages of Scripture where it says things like, bless and curse not? That shows up. Actually, it showed up in your little devotional that you did, I believe, in Romans 12. Right? Yeah, that was Romans. And then in 1 Peter, he talks about that. Rather than curse, do them good. Do them blessing. And I want you to know, that's the kind of forgiveness you experienced. Yeah, you forgive, you received the forgiveness that you spoke of. He canceled our debt. We're no longer going to pay for our sin. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. But he did far more than that. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, it says. And then some, as he goes on through and talks about it in the first part of this book. Oh my, Jesus didn't just cancel the debt. He gave us all things that we need for life and godliness. He gives us breath and life, meets our needs, cares for us day by day. And that's what it's saying in this text. It says, be kind, tender-hearted, and forgive, charizomai, forgive the way Jesus forgave. You understand that's a supernatural forgiveness? Because we're not going to do it on our own apart from the Spirit. I'm not going to do people good that did me bad. Apart from realizing what God has called me to and then Him giving me the strength to do it. Now, we're almost finished, but we didn't look at verse 30. So we've got to go back there. In verse 30 it says this. In the original it would say it this way, and stop grieving the Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now here's what I want you to connect with. When I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior, chapter 1, verse 13 says, He became the seal in my life, and in fact, the Spirit of God took up residence within my life. He's in me. He's there. And when I don't live a supernatural life, when I live in the flesh, when I do the natural things, I give Him pain. Here He is living in me. And when I'm responding in anger, when I'm responding in bitterness, when I'm responding by stealing, when I use my tongue that hurts and cuts and dices people, when I slander, when I don't tell the truth, the Spirit of God within me is pained, is what it says. I did jot down here just an interesting thought on that. I know I have it here. It is the same pain that is spoken of in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to find it here for us. It's the same word used in 1 Thessalonians when it says, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians is talking about when people die and how bad we feel, how it hurts us. Oh, that's the word that's translated, we grieve the Spirit. Actually, it's the same word when Jesus was in the garden praying. He's on his knees and he's praying, and it says he began to be sorrowful. It's that word too. It's like saying, stop causing the Spirit of God to be sorrowful. He dwells within you. He's there to give you victory in these areas. He's there to help you live this supernatural life. And when we live the natural life, we are hurting God who lives within us. That should be our motivation, among other things. Not to cause God pain any longer by living in the flesh, but to live and walk in the Spirit, supernaturally doing what He says in all of these passages. I hope that you can grasp what that's like. We don't always live as we should, and we often do pain the Spirit of God, but we don't need to. He's there to help us live a life that is pleasing to God in every way and pleasing to Him. He's there, the Spirit of God, to help us in every way. Can you imagine what that would be like with me here in this church or in the church I am serving? If all of us really got hold of what it was to live a supernatural life empowered by the Spirit of God, there wouldn't be the anger and the bitternesses and the absence of truth, and there wouldn't be anger that was sinful, and there wouldn't, no, and there doesn't need to be, because we have the Spirit. We are new creations in Christ. And I want to encourage you to turn to the Spirit of God and live lives that are empowered by the Spirit of God who's right in there. Now, Paul did say, as he wrote to the people at Ephesus, stop grieving. So it tells me that they weren't being successful yet. And maybe we haven't gotten there yet, but I believe by the basis of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit, we can grow in our relationships in such a way that God will give us victory in these areas. And may He do that for you. Father, I thank You for the opportunity of opening up Your Word and walking down through a text this morning. I confess, God, that we've done this rather quickly, but those that know Christ have the Spirit of God within them, and we ask that You would continue to teach and instruct them in these things. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.